You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Truth Is. This is your girl, Ash. Before I start, I just want to say my bad for those who expected an episode last week, Thursday. It's been a very interesting week. Last week was very interesting, and I would be lying if I didn't tell you the truth. So the truth is, I was just kind of like in this weird emotional space, given everything that's happened in our country as of recent, and I just wasn't feeling it. I couldn't bring myself to share or to talk about anything, but I'm in better spirits, and I am excited to be back with you guys again for this week. So today I want to talk about something that I actually wanted to address for last week's episode, but recent events made me think about things even more. And so I'm just kind of going to get into it and not leave you guys hanging. So, all right, I want to talk about standards. I will preface this by saying that most of the inspiration for this particular episode came from discussions I've had with friends and family about standards in terms of romantic relationships. Because of this past week, I'm going to discuss this topic, not just in regards to relationships, but into, you know, regards to other aspects of life. So, with that being said, when talking about standards, I believe that the conversation is not, limited to romance. And I think this week proves that. And so I want to get into it. The other night, I was out with a couple of friends, and we started talking about relationships and, you know, their dating chronicles and whatnot. And one of my friends has always been like seemingly good at being by herself, right? Like, I'm not calling her lonely or whatever, but she's, you know, she's single, she dates, she has a good time. She never really came off as a person who was just like, oh, I want to be in a relationship and committed and married and all that. That was like never a vibe that I got from her. I often wondered if marriage was even something that she wanted. And let me be clear, if that was something that she didn't want, that'd have been fine too. But that's just not like the vibe that she often gives off. So this particular night, she opened up and shared that while her current situationship is merely that, just a situationship, it had zero promise of blossoming into something more. And she just basically didn't see herself being with this dude, like, you know, for the long term, if you will. So I was immediately confused because I didn't understand why she felt that her situationship couldn't transform into like a real relationship. But needless to say, she did proceed to break it down for us. So there was pretty much like a Christmas list of reasons why homie wasn't making the cut. You know, I felt, based on what I know about this friend who I've known for years, that her reasons were valid. And, you know, the truth is, it doesn't matter if I felt they were valid or our other friend who was there felt they were valid. As long as she felt that they were valid, that was all that mattered, right? So after dropping her list, she continued on by saying that she felt bad and, you know, she was concerned, like genuinely concerned that something was wrong with her. Again, I was confused, but this time I was confused because I couldn't understand why my friend was equating her standards to something being wrong with her. And what I realized that she wasn't seeing them as standards. So thank God for Google and my ability to type fairly fast. I decided to, like, you know, while I conceptually, I know what standards are, I always like to try to get the clear cut definition for you guys. So I Googled standards, the definition, and the Merriam-Webster version came up. And according to Merriam-Webster, standards are a level of equality or achievement that is considered acceptable or desirable. They're also ideas about morally correct and acceptable behavior. So to me, I'm like, you have these standards. You have these ideas about what is acceptable behavior for you in terms of the type of partner you want to have. And I don't understand why you would feel that having said standards would make you crazy or that would automatically mean that something was wrong with you. I don't think that people should apologize for the standards that they have or feel guilty about them. If you want something, if you're looking for something out of someone and you feel like that they can't provide it, you might like a person just fine, you know, and that's cool. But then, you know, you get to know that person. And so say you're spiritual, say you're a religious person, right? That's just who you are. That's important to you. And you meet somebody and you're like, this person is dope. And then they share in a future conversation that they're atheist. And while there's nothing wrong with being an atheist, I know a lot of awesome atheists, for a person who is religious, that might not fly. That might be a standard for them. They might want someone who they can communicate with about religion, maybe specifically the religious sect that they are associated with. And it's possible that if this person is atheist, while they're not going to judge them for what they believe and vice versa, it causes a disruption in communication and connecting. So if that thing is important to them, if religion is important to them, and you want to be able to connect with that a person about that and you can't, that's a standard. It doesn't make the atheist a bad person, and it doesn't make the person who's religious a bad person. It just means that it's a standard that that individual has, and it's just not going to work, you know, and it's fine. As a woman, I feel like, and anybody who's listening that's a male, heterosexual speaking wise, because again, I'm only coming from the perspective of a heterosexual female. I think oftentimes looking at my past situations prior to getting married, I think looking at some of my friends' situations, we have standards. We're actually very clear about our standards. And we don't always stick to them. You know, we meet people and they don't fit the standards or the majority of the standards that we have. And we still kind of concede and we stay because we're just like hoping that we'll get over it. But what ends up happening in the end is that those standards begin to rear their ugly head at some point in the relationship. And you start to feel like, I don't even know why I got with this person, because we don't mesh. The things that I deem acceptable behavior, the things that I consider to be desirable, you don't have, or enough of them, and it's not going to work. So that presents a problem. And that doesn't make you a bad person for knowing that and acting on that or holding true to that. I think it becomes problematic when you know you have these standards and you believe in those standards and they mean something to you and you ignore them for the sake of being with someone, for the sake of being happy, because there's certain qualities about the person that's cool, like he's cute or he can put it down in bed or whatever it is. And you then ignore everything else. So I think that's interesting. On the other side of that, another friend of mine, she has had some unfortunate past relationships where these individuals were not meeting her standards, but she was doing what I just mentioned. She was kind of putting up with it, you know, and dealing with it. And she's currently dating this guy. Once again, same situation, dating this person. And it feels less like something that's going to blossom into something real and more like kind of a temporary. And as she continues to spend time with him, she's starting to feel like the things that matter to her, the things that her standards, if you will, he's not meeting them. Now, I know for some people, this is starting to sound like, oh, you know, maybe this person is too, standards are too high or whatever the case may be, and they need to dial it back a bit. But I'm not talking about like, you got to buy me something every week. I need to see flowers on my table, fresh roses every Saturday morning. You know, things that are not unrealistic. I'm not talking about those things. I am talking about standards that matter, that are very much connected to your values. Things that you just can't look past. Things that, you know, really mean something to you and prevent you from being able to function in a healthy relationship if they're not present. Because obviously when it comes to relationships, compromise is important and necessary. One time I heard somebody say, I love food and this dude is a vegetarian or he's vegan. I just don't understand. Like, that's not going to work out, you know? And I understand that that's a standard because you are a foodie and you don't have objections to meat or dairy products. But that I think is something that can be compromised. I think that you can still enjoy food with a person, even though they like different things. People do make vegetable-based dishes. Like, it's a real thing. You can figure that out. And, you know, maybe you'll be going out to eat more with friends and trying new dishes with friends than with the guy. but it doesn't mean that you'll never find a cool place to go. Maybe you might go find a vegan spot and be surprised at how good it is. Maybe he's the kind of guy that is fully aware that his girl loves meat and other foods, and even though he's limited by his preferences, but to be the same dude that will go out and buy her like some pulled pork and fries, he's not going to eat it. He might even be disgusted by the smell, but he'll buy it for her because he cares. And so in a sense, like, that might be a standard, but I think that's something that can be compromised. But my particular friend, the other friend, she's dating this dude, and she started sharing me, like, you know, some of these things like that he does that she just finds like real corny, like his desire to seek attention for things that just don't require it. Not to get into like the details of it, but essentially it was turning her off. And when a person doesn't meet your standards and it begins to turn you off, that to me is a red flag. And she, you know, she was expressing herself. And once again, like my other friend, she was just like, you know, like, I know I sound mean, but, and I had to stop her. And I'm like, you sound mean because what? Because he doesn't meet your standards, because it's not something you're into, because as you know, get to know him more, you're like not interested in a lot of the things that he's interested in, that you don't move the way that he does. It's always nice in the beginning, but that's why it's important to spend time, because you start to understand, do we really mesh well? Do our standards align? Or, you know, kind of furthering the conversation of standards, is some of the things that you do, or some of the things that you do, deal breakers, right? Going back again to the dictionary, a deal breaker, an issue or a factor that is significant enough to terminate a negotiation, especially in business or politics, right? So I think people have standards, and I think that there is no way in hell that we can all meet each other's standards. It's just not going to happen, you know? But there are situations where the standards are so important, the values are so important, that they're deal breakers. So it's possible that if you are a person who believes in God and someone that you like doesn't, that could very well be a deal breaker, right? That could be the issue or factor that is so significant that it would terminate any opportunity for a real relationship beyond whatever is going on. And that's why it's important to get to know people. I think that if your desire is to find true companionship, you do need to think about what your standards are so that you do not go in wasting someone's time. I went to a flea market today, and like many of you know, I've said this in the past few episodes, my husband and I just got an apartment. So we're looking for like a coffee table, and there was this beautiful coffee table that met my standards. It was different. It was a one-of-a-kind piece. It was, I liked the wood, the design, everything. It met my standards, but you know, it was too much. I couldn't afford it. And it was funny because the guy goes, you know, if I'm willing to discuss something, like in terms of, he was willing to negotiate a price with me, but I didn't want to waste his time because I knew that even though it met my standards, I couldn't pay for it. So I say that to say, like, I don't have the money, you know, I can't help you in this situation. If you know that something's not going to work out because you don't have the money, or because the person doesn't fit your standards, or because whatever it is, it's not a waste of time. You're not wrong. You're not a bad person. You know who you are, and you know what you can bring, and you know what you're looking for in a mate, and it's okay. I don't understand why the automatic reaction for women specifically, again, I can't speak for men, is to feel bad. I think oftentimes we are made to feel like we want too much. We're unrealistic. We just got to accept what we can get. And so when we are true to ourselves and recognize that, like, you know what, that's not going to work for me, we then have a moment where we kind of feel bad about it. Like we did something wrong. Like we're in the wrong for caring about ourselves and knowing what it is that we want. And I just reject that. Hold true to your standards. Definitely think about them. Consider how realistic some of them are. You want to go through that Christmas list, but don't put yourself down for having them. I think if more women had standards, they would be putting up with a lot less shit, or more people. Because again, standards didn't just have to deal with relationships. It can be very much connected to your job. You know, does your job fit your standards? I like a particular type of style when it comes to clothes, and I would find that I would go to the store and purchase things that were on sale and I, you know, were cute, but they didn't really fit my standards based on my body type or what I really liked. They didn't really speak to me, but it was cute. So I just kind of like, I was settling essentially. And then I'd buy this particular article of clothing and I'd wear it, but I wouldn't wear it with the same level of confidence that I would a piece of clothing that I knew really suited me, really fit my standards, really was what it was that I was looking for. That's what I'm going through right now. It's about to be winter and I'm looking for a special coat. There is a specific type of coat that I want. And I am willing to be a little cold for a while until I find it because there were coats that I tried on this weekend that could have worked, that did work, that looked nice on me. I tried on one coat and somebody complimented me, but I just wasn't feeling it. It just didn't fit the way that I wanted. It just didn't fit my standard. So I put it back and that's fine. Because the thing is, when I do find the coat that I want, I'm gonna be all right with dropping whatever I dropped on it to buy it. And every time I wear it, I'm gonna feel good and I'm gonna be happy because I didn't settle because I just needed a coat. And I found myself almost getting to that point. I almost purchased this coat because it was cute and it did look nice, but I'm like, nah, son, it ain't what I want. I know it's not what I want, so I'm not gonna do it to myself. And imagine now getting involved with someone and you're seeing these red flags. Doesn't make the person a shitty person. It just means that they're not good for you based on your standards, that these things are deal breakers. And now you're committing to yourself to someone knowing that you're kind of settling. You're just kind of taking what you can get because, you know, it doesn't look that bad. He ain't that bad. And you make concessions for it or for him or for the fact that you committed and deep down inside, it's not what you want. So I was actually celebrating my two friends for acknowledging their standards, staying true to those standards and being okay with the fact that, you know what, he might not be it. I actually think it's very freeing to be okay with that. So when it comes to relationships, guys, specifically, or jobs, or clothes, or whatever it is, or house, you know, you're looking for a house, for an apartment. If it doesn't suit your standards, if it doesn't fit, if there are things that you're seeing that are deal breakers, you know, don't do it to yourself. If you want a house and you want to, you have to have a backyard, you need to have a basement, like those are standards. And if the house doesn't come with it, that's a deal breaker. It doesn't matter if it's in a neighborhood you really like, or if it's close to your favorite shopping center. If those things don't align, it is okay to walk away. You do not need to feel bad about that. And I believe that if you hold true to it, what you want will come, you know. Compromise is a real part of life. And I'm not saying that we need to excuse that compromise has to be a part of the equation, but there are certain things you're just not willing to let go of, certain things you're just not willing to give up. And if it really means that much, if it affects you that much, that means you shouldn't give it up. That means you shouldn't compromise it because you ain't never going to be happy about it anyway. So that's my thought on that. That's my little, you know, me rambling about that. Now getting to standards, in terms of politics, I will say this, I am not the most politically inclined person. I'm actually I don't even like politics. I'm not into it. I try not to have too many conversations about politics. One, because I don't really believe in having conversations about topics that I'm not really, in tune with, that I don't have much to offer. Like I just don't, I'm not there. And I don't think that it makes sense, but I am a U.S. citizen. I am registered to vote. And so, like many people last week, Tuesday, and people before, because some states have early voting, I went out to vote for our next president. And our candidates, as many of you, if not all of you know, were Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, which even saying that sounds like a joke. Because it's like, oh, wait, so Donald Trump really did make it this far. But I digress. So for some people, you know, the results of that Tuesday night's election, they were excited and happy with what happened. And for others, it was a devastating blow that literally led folks to tears. I saw on my social media, people were using words like mourning and grieving as if someone died. It really felt like someone did die for some people. this is not a joke. Unfortunately, it has been reported that the results of the election actually led to some, like, people did commit suicide, is my understanding. And I am, you know, distraught over that, that things are so bad that, or things are so divided in our country that a person winning an election, you know, something that's been going on since this country started, would lead them to take their own lives because they're concerned about what the next 4 years would mean for them being a part of a particular marginalized group. So that's scary, very sad, very unfortunate. But I was really confused when I got up. I was like, I fell asleep. So I was like, I can't wait. This is taking too long. It was like a bad episode of American Idol. Like Ryan Seacrest was just waiting forever to tell us the results. That's how I felt was, that's what I felt was going on. By like 3 o'clock, I was like checking Twitter and CNN.com. And it was just like, yeah, she didn't win. Now, I am a Democrat or whatever. So I'm not a Republican, put it that way. So I've always voted Democrat. I know that a lot of Democrats do not like Hillary Clinton. They did not favor her as the candidate to be president. A lot of people I know would say things like, I don't really want to vote for her, but she is, when you're thinking about choosing the best of the worst, the lesser of the two evils, that was a lot of the language that was being used for a lot of my peers. It was like, I'm just gonna have to vote for her. But it was like a reluctant vote, right? It wasn't something that they really wanted to do. And then you had people who voted for Donald Trump. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about the fact that people chose him because it was a rebellion against the establishment, or middle white America went out and voted for him because of white supremacy. And it was white lashing. And it was a way to get back at the fact that for the past 8 years, we've had a black president in office. There's several different theories going around, several different, you know, thoughts about how the hell did Donald Trump win. I swear he's considering that himself. He's probably like, I didn't really think this was going to work. But because I'm not the most politically inclined, because I'm not, I couldn't even fully have a serious opinion on Hillary Clinton in terms of disliking her as a candidate or not, because I just wasn't as involved in that conversation or made much of an effort to be educated. But I do understand that she did things that were not pleasing to marginalized groups like African-Americans. They felt like, you know, she was too stoic or unemotional or just simply a politician, you know, and that was enough to not want to vote for her. Many people wanted Bernie Sanders, many Democrats wanted to Bernie Sanders. It's been reported that especially millennials voted for Obama, right? And when the Bernie Sanders letdown happened, it was almost like a rebellion against that. I don't have the receipts. I do not have the facts. Again, I'm not really here to speak on that. But what I did realize when I was trying to deal with the reality that will be our next 4 years is that this was based on standards, like on some real shit, right? Like people had standards. I mean, you got to think about it. There were Democrats who don't even like Hillary. She did not meet their standards, but they would rather her in office than Donald Trump. And so they still came out and voted. And let me just say this before I continue. I didn't vote because I love Hillary. I obviously didn't want Donald Trump to win. And not even because I got a thing against Republicans. I just don't think Donald Trump should be running our country. Like, even if we know at the end of it that Congress really makes the decisions. And you know what? Hey, at this point, Republicans have the House and the Senate. So there's that. But it sounds silly. It feels like, you know, it's like saying Ronald McDonald ran for president and won. It's like a really bad joke. I also feel like we're a very shallow country, and it doesn't look good when Donald Trump wins the presidency, because you got a lot of people giving us the side eye outside of, you know, America, and maybe they have a right to and they don't, but it doesn't look good. Also, because we're shallow, that removed the possibility in this moment for us to get a female president, which would have been groundbreaking and all kinds of things and whatever the hell else. So that was also taken away. Now, I'm not presenting opinions, my own personal opinions. I'm just stating what I believe to be the case with America in terms of that. Not very articulate, like I mentioned, because I'm not that politically inclined, but some of the things I noticed. Okay, so moving forward, standards. So, you know, you have these standards, a lot of conversation about not liking Hillary, a lot of conversation about how you don't trust her or whatnot, but you still vote. There were people who didn't like Hillary and really wanted Bernie, and she did not meet their standards for them, for those, because I've heard a lot of people like, F you to the white moderates, and F you to the people who voted for the Green Party, and F you for the people who didn't vote. And it's a very confusing place to be in, because I'm like, well, you know, from a very objective perspective, right? If we're talking about standards, if standards are considered, you know, things that are considered acceptable or desirable, or ideas about morally correct and acceptable behavior, and the person who has, who is running for the Democratic Party is someone who doesn't fit within those standards. If you don't feel like she is morally correct, if you feel like she's done some things that are just questionable, why would you vote for her? Excusing the fact that Donald Trump is president, you have a right to do what you want. You have a right to vote for who you want to vote for. If you really don't believe in this woman, why vote for her? That is the question I am posing. I am not, again, putting my own opinion on it. It's just something that has been swirling around in my head. Going back to the concept of a deal breaker, you know, Bernie not getting it, maybe that was a deal breaker for some folks. And they were just like, well, I can't negotiate it. It's not enough. I can't vote. I know that Donald Trump is running, but I just can't vote for her. Because there was a lot of people, there are a lot of Republicans who didn't vote for Donald Trump, who didn't want Hillary to win. There are people who came out who did not vote for him either, right? There were Republicans who voted for Hillary because the idea of Trump being a president would be a deal breaker for them. There are people who voted for the Green Party because they were pissed that Bernie didn't make it, and they were like, screw this. There was a lot going on. It ended in a way that I didn't expect and was not what I preferred, but it was that I voted because I'm a woman and I'm a Black woman, for those who don't know, for my listeners who don't know. And there was a time in this century, well, not this century, but not too long ago, not that long ago, a time that I know people who, you know, can remember, that women couldn't vote and that Blacks couldn't vote. We didn't have that right. And Black people died for it. They were killed for it. They were beaten and bruised for it. They were, I mean, it was terrible, right? Like, it was something that, you know, it's like, we don't have that right. And now, you know, that right exists, and it's existed for, you know, it's existed for not that long, but it's existed. And so for me, when I go out to vote and I'm not pleased with the, you know, candidate that's representing my party, I still vote. I do it to pay homage. I do it out of respect, because there are people who are gone, who didn't have that right and fought for it. And feel how you feel about the Electoral College, feel how you feel about the popular vote and all of those things. But that was a real thing that happened. And so I do that for them. But I also believe that, you know, there are a lot of people who are mad at others who didn't vote. The reality is you have the right to vote, which means that you also have the right not to. And if you know that and you choose not to vote, and whatever happens, happens, you might be the person who's intelligent or mature enough to realize you got to be happy with what happens, because that's just what it is. You chose not to participate. And people have a right to not want to participate if they're not happy, if the candidates don't meet their standards, if what they're seeing is a deal breaker. Like, this was a deal breaker. Hillary got chosen for the, you know, for the Democratic Party. That's a deal breaker for whether I'm going to vote or not voting. That's that person. They have that right. And I don't believe that people should be chastised for it. I think people have a right to be angry that Trump won, just like people have a right to be excited that he didn't lose. I was reading this really interesting article that the New York Times posted the day after the election, titled, "I'm a Muslim Woman a woman, and an immigrant. I'm a Muslim, a woman, and an immigrant, and I voted for Trump. Now, I will post this link on Thursday when I post this episode. But I know when I read it, I was like, what? So I had to read it because I was confused. And I remember that after I read it, I looked at the person who posted it, a friend of mine who is in politics, and she was just like, oh, there was all kind of sneaky people in the middle of the night voting for Trump. And I'm just like, that's what you took from this article? So I'm going to just read a couple things from it. So she says, a lot is being said about the quote unquote silent secret Trump supporters. This is my confession and explanation. I, a 51-year-old Muslim and an immigrant woman of color, am one of those silent voters for Donald Trump. And I'm not a bigot, racist, chauvinist, or white supremacist, as Trump voters are being called, nor part of some white lash. In the winter of 2008, as a lifelong liberal and a proud daughter of a West Virginia state born on the correct side of history on slavery, I moved to historically conservative Virginia only because the state had helped elect Barack Obama as the first African-American president of the United States. But then, for much of this past year, I've kept my electoral preference secret. I was leaning toward Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Gasp, I know. Tuesday evening, just minutes before the polls closed at Forestville Elementary School in mostly Democratic Fairfax County, I slipped between the cardboard partitions in the polling booth, pen balanced carefully between my fingers to mark my ballot for president, coloring in the circle beside the names of Trump and his running mate, Mike Pence. After Hillary Clinton called Trump to concede, making him America's president-elect, a friend on Twitter wrote a message of apology to the world saying, there are millions of Americans who don't share Trump's hatred, division, ignorance. She ended, ashamed of millions that do. So she goes on to say that she's a single mother who cannot afford health insurance under Obamacare. The president's mortgage loan modification program, Hope Now, didn't help me. Tuesday, I drove into Virginia from my hometown of Morgantown, West Virginia, where I see rural America and ordinary Americans like me still struggling to make ends meet after 8 years of the Obama administration. Finally, as a liberal Muslim who has experienced firsthand Islamic extremism in the world, I've been opposed to the decision by President Obama and the Democratic Party to tap dance around the quote-unquote Islam and Islamic State. Of course, Trump's rhetoric has been far more than indelicate and folks can have policy differences with his recommendations. But to me, it has been exaggerated and demonized by the governments of Qatar and Saudi Arabia, their media channels such as Al Jazeera and their proxies in the West, in a convenient distraction from the issue that most worries me as a human being on this earth. Extremist Islam of the kind that has spilled blood from the hallways of the Taj Mahal Hotel in Mumbai to the dance floors of the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida. She continues on by saying that she hasn't been happy with the way that Hillary Clinton handled the conversation around radicalism, Islamic radicalism, and all of those things. And she just wasn't sold. Essentially, the things that Hillary has done in the past, the things that she has supported, the things that happened during Obama's administration that affected her directly as a woman, as a single mom, as an immigrant, as a Muslim American, were not enough. They didn't meet her standards. And clearly they were so bad that whatever Trump was spewing, you know, for the exception and ignoring his, you know, horrible, racist, misogynistic, homophobic rhetoric, his policies seemed to meet her standards. And she wanted to support her party, which essentially is Democratic, but it wasn't enough. And I read it feeling really conflicted because I was like, this is why I don't fuck with politics. It's just too complex. Call me lazy. That's fair. But it's just to show that it's not easy. There isn't always an easy answer. The reality is it's a competition and somebody's going to lose. I watch sports with my husband. Not because I love it, just because sometimes that's what you do when you're married. And, oh, don't get me started on these championship games. Like, someone's going to lose. There will always be a loser. Especially when there's, like, when there's a game, when there's a vote, there's going, someone's going to lose. And even if the rest, the majority of the people, the majority of the world think that it's not okay that Trump is president, even if I don't think it's okay, the fact that he was running, the fact that he got the ticket, that meant that he had a shot, period. Even if it was a shot in hell, and it clearly wasn't because he won. It was enough to put him in a space to possibly win. And he won because people voted for him. His electoral college voted for him. That's what happens. We have had shitty presidents before. We have had presidents that we don't like. And again, I'm coming from a Democratic space. There are people who are Republicans who might listen to this and think differently. But the point is, we have had people run for president. We've had candidates run for president that we are not proud of, that we are not excited about, and they win. That is the harsh reality of it. And a lot of it has to do with standards. Truth is, people have standards. And if you're going to vote and if you're going to campaign and you have a history that doesn't align with people's standards, they will not come out to support you. And that's what the hell happened. That is partly what happened. A lot of other shit happened too that led to him winning. But it just made me think about standards in that light. It also made me think that while I have lightly joked throughout this episode or the, you know, second half about not being politically inclined, it doesn't mean that it's okay. Because if someone did ask me, Aisha, what are your standards? What are your thoughts? What do you want from your party? What do you expect? What are your expectations? What are your deal breakers? I wouldn't have much to offer. And that speaks to my ignorance. So if nothing else, while I voted for Hillary, while I hoped that she would have won in spite of what people felt about her or whatever the case may be, and while my vote was purely based on the fact that I wanted to, because I live in a Democratic state, she was going to win anyway, my state, I could have not voted and she would have won, but that's neither here nor there. I voted for people who came before me. I still should know how I feel. I still should know what my standards are. And what this situation taught me was that I didn't have any. And I pride myself on standards. I pride myself on having values. I pride myself on being able to know what my deal breakers are. And every other aspect of my life, and I chose not to be in that situation for politics, which can very, very much directly affect my life, more specifically local politics, but still. And so with that being said, I want people to work towards dealing with the reality that is, which is that Obama is leaving and Trump is entering, unless this protest where they're hoping for the Electoral College to rethink their decision actually works. And for those who don't make an effort, like myself, to be more politically educated, to do so, so that when things like this happen, you can at least say you know what your standards are, and also understand that it is, in the end, a competition. A huge one, an important one, absolutely, but it is a competition, and someone will lose, and we're not always going to get our guy. For Democrats, you got your guy for 8 years, and that was special. As a Black American, really special, but I have to be able to accept what the truth is. And the truth is, as of now, Donald Trump and all his bad hair glory is our president-elect. So with that being said, I want to thank you for listening. As always, thank you for being patient with me. I'm not going to lie, next week is the holiday, so I may or may not post, but I definitely will be back after the holidays. I appreciate the support as always. I appreciate the feedback. Talk to me. Let me know what you think. If you disagree, that's fine. I want to hear it. I want to start a conversation. Truth is, it's important. You know where to find me at truthis25 on Twitter. I'm posted on SoundCloud, iTunes, www.truthis.podomatic.com. Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts. Comment, share. Let's continue the dialogue. And guys, I feel like this means a lot more than it has in the past episodes, but truth is that we need to remember the truth will set us free, but first it will most definitely piss us off, okay? Love and respect. Till next time.